Morning, you all right? Are you? Are you though? Hope you are. Sincerely hope you are. Me, yeah, I'm all right. Got me morning cup of tea. Everything's fine. Who are you though? You know who you are. You're the glorious band of chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it's nothing. Without you, it's really nothing. Thank you. Thank you for people typing stuff in the chat. All of it. Love it. Thank you. Brilliant. It has just ticked 1 minute past eight in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, of course, on Thursday. We're now on Thursday, aren't we? Thursday, the 19th of March in the year of our Lord, 2026. And as always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Hopefully we got rid of that echo. You don't sound like you're at the bottom of a well today, hopefully.
Yeah, I got a ladder. I think I found my way out.
Brilliant. All right. Should we jump straight into it then? With no further ado, with no further faff, should we see what the legacy corporate mainstream media is banging on about this morning? All right. It's a bit about meningitis, Iran, of course, and Labour's migrant plan. As a nothing burger as it was going to be, as weak-wristed as it was going to be, looks like Sir Keir Starling can't even hack that. He might U-turn on that. What, like his 17th, his 18th U-turn in government? All right, corporate mainstream media, let's have a look at the front pages, the Fleet Street UK print media. What are the front pages saying? Okay, Labour migrant plan under scrutiny. Under scrutiny. Well, Angela Rayner said it was un-British, and now Starmer's going to soil his pants and do another U-turn. Great. Okay. Labour migrant plans under scrutiny, and Iran gas field targeted. I mean, that was a big thing on the Iran front. Both sides are now sort of dialing it up, if anything, to destroy each other's oil and gas infrastructure. Iran keeps smashing all its neighbours' oil fields and gas fields. And looks like the US and Israel are just going to do the same back, doesn't it? So the oil war. It's the oil war. Okay, Daily Telegraph. Daily Tory graph. There's the Princess of Wales looking radiant as ever. Some lavish do they put on at the palace for Nigerians. Starmer signals migrant U-turn. 1.6 million invaders, call them what they are, 1.6 million invaders could win right to stay as PM backs off tougher line after pressure from Rayner. Pressure from Rayner? She's not... Why does he feel any pressure from a personage like Angela the Fridge Rayner? She should be nothing to him. If he was a real leader, if he had a vision and a set of policies of how to run his government, it wouldn't matter that Rayner did some speech somewhere and going, "Ooh, I'm British." That wouldn't make a dent in his thinking. But no, he's gonna do well. Or right, it's what he actually wanted all along. He throws her out there and now gives himself an excuse to do a U-turn, so that another 1.6 million people can stay. Another 1.6 million. That's a mad... The numbers are mad, aren't they? Since 1997, what? Something in the order of maybe? Nobody knows the real number. Maybe something as much as 20-odd million people since 1997. That's the thing I said in my article, which was briefly published on the Mallard, before they almost immediately crumpled to a tiny amount of pressure from Hope Not Hate, before they took it down off their website, but... Hope Not Hate thankfully archived it, so it's good it's still out there. It's on an archive website. I stand by every word. In that I said we need to go back at least to 1997 levels, at least those 20 odd million people and their dependents don't want to break up families can all go home. I want my country back. I don't want it to descend into a sectarian nightmare. I don't want to become a hated and marginalised minority in my own ancestral homeland. But no, another 1.6, another 1.6 million people could say because Angela Rayner said some words. There are dark times ahead if remigration doesn't happen. And then it will have to happen anyway. That's why it's inevitable, one way or another. Okay, NHS staff told to wear masks when treating meningitis. Masks. Unless it's a proper mask, like a vacuum seal, you know, like they wear in Breaking Bad. The proper vacuum seal around your whole nose and mouth with two or one ventilation, proper ventilation thing. Unless it's that sort of mask, it doesn't do anything. It's that little paper thin nappy thing that you put over your ears with a little bit of elastic. That's not, that doesn't do anything. That doesn't help you or anyone else. Masks. Middle East situation too fluid for Royal Navy to send its warships. Yeah. Too fluid. You mean Iran can still fire missiles and drones more or less at will. Right. Come on, Hexith. I thought you had this done. Come on. We're waiting. We're waiting. I thought you had this sorted out. I thought you'd won the war already. No? No? All right. The Express, it's a good paper. Labour chaos as number 10 fails to confirm tough rules will be introduced. New row over a weaker migrant plan. Again, if you remember yesterday or you weren't watching yesterday, I'll remind you. Part of the plan was that it takes 10 years to... You can come here, even illegally, and if you stay here for 10 years, you then get permanent right to remain. Permanent settlement. You're allowed to stay forever and ever. Have kids. Chain migration. Get your family over as well. If you stay here, sorry, if you stay here for 5 years, that's the case. They wanted to make it 10 years. That doesn't really achieve anything, does it? It kicks the can in a very, very limited sense down the road a little bit. So that's no good. That doesn't save us from demographic replacement or a sectarian nightmare at all. At all. Even that was too much. Even that was too much for Sir Queer, one of the weakest politicians I've ever, ever seen. Makes someone like John Redwood seem like Kubla Khan. Okay, Princess of Wales there, same exact same picture. Looking radiant. The Times, Venerable Times, stricter migrant rules may be watered down after Rayner criticism. This is the government we got. This is the government. Trump saying that Starmer is no Churchill. Yeah, yeah. He's so weak, pathetic, a pathetic nothing man. Just an absolute cretin. Oh, Harry, have we got a poll? Did we do a poll?
Yeah, I'm literally... just putting it out now.
Okay, cool. Okay, I've let Harry decide what it's going to be this morning. We had a quick brainstorm, couldn't think of anything, and time ran out. So whatever it is today, it's entirely Harry's creation. I shall see it in real time in 20 minutes or half hour or so for myself. So, okay. All right. What else have we got here? British military to help US form plan to reopen Strait. Really? They're like the two stars and above at the Pentagon really need the input of like British generals, really, one way or another. Maybe they do. Maybe they do. Obviously, I'm not privy to exactly what's going on there, but I would have thought they'd just really resent having to ask anyone else what they should do next. Oil price surges as Iran vows to hit Gulf plants. Yeah, the oil price is up a little bit again. Something like 4%. So, still nowhere near all-time highs, but it is expensive. It is getting more and more expensive, no doubt about that. Trump's intelligence chief denies nuclear claims. All right. The Guardian. Oh, sorry. The Guardian. Sorry, you got me there. He was ahead of me for one. Okay, The Guardian goes with a dangerous escalation. Israel strikes world's largest gas field. So there's been attacks from both sides continuing on oil infrastructure. Obviously, Iran attacking, well, everyone. The Saudis, the Iraqis, the Kuwaitis, Bahrain, Qatar, UAE, of course. The UAE saw one thing yesterday saying that the UAE has taken the hardest amount of Iranian strikes out of them all. Something like 2,000, something in the order of 2,000 different things, whether missiles or drones, have hit the UAE over the last, what, 2.5 weeks, whatever it is. Andrew Tate's reputation for having a good take, most affected. Okay. I shan't mention Andrew Tate anymore. He's not worth mentioning, is he? Number 10 considers easing immigration changes. Right. Ex-Google executive to be named as BBC boss. Yeah, that says it all, doesn't it? That tells you sort of what you need to know. Google, obviously arch sort of globalists, Google. Whole thing ultimately, Sergey Brin and the original Google guys. Intelligence services, CIA. That now is the head of the BBC. Right, yeah, it's a big club. We're not in it. The BBC. When I talk about that the BBC should be destroyed, by the way, I'm not talking about destroying its entire archive of everything it ever made. Try and find every copy of Blue Planet by David Attenborough and Blackadder and destroy all of those. No. I'm talking about destroying the archive of everything the BBC ever did. Just the organisation as it exists today. Why? Because it's evil. Okay. So, ex-Google executive to be named as BBC boss. Right, got it. Yeah, makes sense. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. They make sure it still keeps functioning as a propaganda organ for people that despise the natives. Yeah. Auntie is an evil extortionist. It means to undermine our way of life. Bizarrely. Almost bizarrely. Why so many middle-aged women are repulsed by husbands they once adored? Don't care. Don't care, what nonsense. Fears of $200 a barrel oil as Tehran targets Saudi and Qatar. That's what a few headlines are going with. That they fear it's going to rise to $200 a barrel. I mean, that would be an all-time high, I believe. I believe like an all-time high is something in the order of $150 a barrel, is it? Or certainly in recent times, anyway. Certainly within the last like 10, 15 years. 20 years, odd. So I think something like $200 a barrel would be sort of an all-time high by some margin. But it's just fears of... I'm not saying it won't get there. It could well get there. It could well do that. That could well happen. It could go higher. Who knows? But that's not what it is at the moment. But that's a classic, you know, headline thing. You know, fears of $200 a barrel. It isn't yet and probably won't. But it might go to $200 a barrel. I mean... Some analyst somewhere that may or may not benefit from the price going higher, stoking fears of it going that high. It's a different thing to actually being that, isn't it? Like, very different. Entirely different. All right. Iran wages, quote, full-scale economic war on the West, the whole West, not just Dubai, not just Qatar, on the West. Whether they'll send agents out to try and sabotage things actually in Europe and the United States, mainland United States. There's one suggestion. Oh, well, I mean, let's quickly have a look at, what was it? Was it Washington Post again? Yeah, suggestions that, well, the headline here from the Washington Post says, drones over army base where Rubio and Hegseth live raise security concerns. Lockdowns at several domestic bases, United States domestic bases, and a global security alert underscore the possibility that Iranian retaliation could extend to officials on American soil. The military is monitoring potential threats more closely. Maybe that's just complete scaremongering. Maybe not. Who knows? Who knows? It's not like Iran aren't capable of such things, theoretically. It's not like they haven't exported terror cells abroad loads. Did we find a whole bunch of terror cells in Britain last May? Yeah, we did, yeah. One's in Swindon, in Wiltshire. An Iranian terror cell in the west country of England, in Wiltshire. Right. Now, but that's their own words, I believe. Full-scale economic war on the West. That's Iran's words. That's not just like some Israeli intelligence analyst. That's their words. Okay. Netflix's brutal purge of the Sussexes. Yeah. Mentioned it yesterday, so you won't mention it here. Oh, I just did the news a little bit that apparently Meghan... Can you believe this? Can you believe this? Okay. Meghan was difficult to work with. Who knew? Who could have suspected? Who could have guessed that she acted like a child? That was some. I quickly read run of the articles on one of the other websites. She was really childish. When she didn't get her way in a meeting, she would just sort of flounce out of the meeting, stuff like that. Various things like that. Who could have suspected that was the type of character she has? Okay, the eye paper. Energy costs climb as Iran strike hits huge gas plant in Gulf. The little blurb says. My eyes are going. I'm getting old. I actually might need glasses. I've always had 20/20 my whole life. I don't think I have any more. Well, I haven't anymore. Perhaps I need glasses. Okay, it says. Iran inflicts, quote, extensive damage, quote, on world's largest liquid natural gas facility in Qatar. So that's one of the big points. It's in the thing here, is the liquid natural gas, light natural gas, LNG, is obviously something entirely different to crude oil. And a gigantic amount of LNG came out of the Gulf, out of Qatar mainly. And some countries really badly rely on it. I think a lot of Asian countries like South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, like all joking aside about, you know, Andrew Tate most affected, Putin most affected, Cyprus most affected. Most affected really is some of those countries, their economy, like places like South Korea, Japan, Taiwan. Like apparently Taiwan, I was just listening this morning, that their strategic reserves of LNG, which they use loads, is like 12 days or 15 days or something like that. In other words, they don't start getting LNG real quick. It doesn't look like they're going to. They're in trouble. They're in trouble a little bit. They might have to have blackouts and things. Some countries in Southeast Asia, some of the smaller countries, you know, like Vietnam or whatever, some of them, Indonesia, or all sorts of countries, got to start thinking about maybe having a four-day week and stuff. And like societal level campaigns to like turn your lights off and things, start using as little power as possible, because they're gonna run out, properly run out. LNG is a big part of all of that. So, Asian, Far East Asian, Southeast Asian countries most affected is sort of really true, kind of. Well, other than Iran, well, other than the states in the Persian Gulf, of course, they're the most affected. But all right, the knock-on effects most affected. Okay, so extensive damage on the natural gas facility in Qatar, responsible for 1/5 of global supplies of LNG, after Tehran vows to attack Gulf energy plants in retaliation for Israel's attack on its major gas field. So both sides, it's a tit for tat. It really is the oil war, the LNG war, the crude war. Yeah, so do you remember, I suppose it was a bit weaker, or 2 weekends ago, I think, the Iranian president came out and said, he apologised. Remember that? I reported it, yeah, definitely, I'm pretty sure. He apologised to all the other states they'd been bombing, saying, I'd like to apologise on behalf of myself and the whole of Iran for attacking you, the UAE, Bahrain, Qatar, Kuwait, Saudi, Iraq, whatever. And as long as things, aerial assets don't come from your countries, we won't attack you anymore. Within the same day, they were still doing it. Now they're still doing it. So really, 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 the Iranians really screwing with Qatar. Supposed to be an ally, supposed to be friends. They're supposed to be on the same side, effectively. And Iran have said, we won't attack you anymore as long as American and Israeli missiles and or farshets or whatever don't come out from you. And they haven't. Qatar at no point allowed Israel or the United States to fly stuff from there, I believe. So, the gloves are off as far as Iran is concerned. And, I mean, again, purely from their point of view, don't want to be an apologist for them. I'm not an apologist for them, but just look at it purely from their point of view. They're in an existential crisis, aren't they? They've got nothing to lose. It's all or nothing for them, isn't it? Not that that justifies it or excuses it, but there is a rationale there. You know, a horrible one, as far as I'm concerned, to be clear, of course. Again, not trying to be an apologist for them, but from their point of view, it's like, we've got nothing to lose. It's this or nothing, isn't it? From their point of view. All right. It says, UK is taking at face value Trump's assertion that he could end war in a fortnight after major blitz, but is concerned that Israel may then go on alone. May then go it alone. So even if the Donald does find an off-ramp, however ignominious it is, Israel may well not stop. Probably wouldn't. I don't know. I doubt it. It's Netty's dream, isn't it? To destabilise Iran. I was going to say regime change, but just destabilise it. Just sow chaos there forever. I don't know. I don't know what his actual true goal and dream is. Chaos, I think. All right. It says, oil prices up 6%. Other places are reporting 4%. It's so volatile that both those things will be true, depending on exactly when they went to print. Oil prices up 6% as rest of the world counts cost of US and Israeli war with Iran. Yeah. All right. The Financial Times. Fed signals bid to cut rates on track despite oil price surge. So, yeah, Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Fed, said they're going to keep interest rate, US interest rates the same. And I think a lot of other countries, other really big countries like Japan and the UK and things, the European Bank is set to do the same thing. Before this war started, they were looking like they were going to lower interest rates. And now they're not going to lower interest rates, they're going to keep them the same. And we can expect, especially if this war goes on, them to go up. Okay, we had hoped, we might expect they would go down, but they're keeping them the same. So, sounds like a true nothing burger, like literally nothing's happened, which is the case, but also, that is a thing, right? That is a data point. To keep them the same is still... it's still news. Okay. Iran strikes at Qatar after critical gas facility hit. All right. Yeah, we get it. UAE hints at leniency over tax rules for fleeing expats as Tehran widens strikes. Yeah, so for Dubai, well, Abu Dhabi and Dubai, they're the main two emirates. All the other five emirates are tiny little things. They do really, really, honestly, badly rely on tourism, don't they? other people from all over the world turning up and spending all their money there. Well, if it's a war zone, it's not going to be that appealing, is it? Simple as that. The Metro, ugh. Okay. What is this? The big fat bird from Gavin and Stacey said something. Don't care. Three vaccine campaigns ignored. Three. Sorry, three. Not three. Three. This is a German three. Three vaccine campaigns ignored. We, the Metro. The Metro says we warned of meningitis outbreak hell. Oh, did you? Great. Well done. Well, it didn't really help, did it? Didn't make any difference, did it? The Metro. Gloating about something that failed. Trying to gloat about something that failed. We were harbingers of doom first. Were you? Well done. Okay, the Daily Mirror. Well, it's Comic Relief Day coming up. Don't care. That's been completely subverted and perverted like everything else in our society, hasn't it? Red Nose Day. What about people in our country that are suffering, that live in penury? What about that? We'll keep giving money to Africa, do we? Why? Red Nose Day. Police chiefs demand, that's a UK police chief, demand that Brit cops sex crime review of Epstein files. Why write like that? Why are you writing in that way, with that cadence, with that? Brit cops' sex crime review of Epstein files. There's got to be a better way to express yourself than that, isn't there? Okay, it's the thing that we reported on it the other day, didn't we? That British police, Met Police, London Metropolitan Police, have gone to the United States and asked to see all the files in the DOJ Epstein dump because they're investigating people like Andrew Amandi and others. It says, top officer to US officials, let us examine full unedited papers. Documents may also contain Andrew misconduct evidence. So yeah. It's funny, they did know about at least Andrew for years and years and years. Decided not to investigate, didn't they, for years. But now, because the legacy corporate mainstream media kick up such a stink about it, now they're investigating, are they? Bet they're doing a really thorough investigation as well. Bet they're really getting to the bottom of things and following up all the leads. Leads. They're going to bring in the fifth Baron Rothschild for questioning at all? No? I doubt it. I highly doubt that. The Sun. There's the Princess of Wales, Catherine Middleton, looking radiant as ever. She's the Queen of Diamonds now. She's the Queen of Diamonds. Also, Gary Glitter's probably going to die soon. Pop Pedo, they're calling him. some of the other papers. He's Pop Pedo Gary Glitter. If anyone's foreign or not old enough, Gary Glitter made some pop songs like in the 70s. He's now like in his 80s and he's a convicted paedophile. I mean, he's a full-blown wrong-un. He's currently in prison and he's 81 and he's on his last legs and he's probably going to die soon. Whack that on the front page. Not that all the world's natural gas and oil fields, or not all of them, but a lot of them are being systematically annihilated in a war of brutal, brutal economic attrition in the Middle East. Not that. Gary Glitter might die soon. That's the Sun. That's the level of journalism you're going to get from the Sun. Not even that he's dead, he just might die soon. Gary Glitter. That anyone under like 50 doesn't really remember in real time. Like, I'm in my mid-40s. His career, his music career was already over by the time my memories kick in. Gary Glitter. All right, The Star. An even more absurd front page from The Star. Truly absurd, this one. Bots get the chop. Tech that. The Star stops big tech nicking fave paper to train AI. Now, even after I read the tiny little bit of blurb they've got there, still don't understand what they're talking about. I won't even bother telling you any more about it. It's nonsense. It's just nonsense. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. It's not a thing. It's not news in any way. That's The Start. All right, they're the front pages. Okay, they're the front pages. Getting increasingly weird, increasingly divorced from actual news. The tabloids. All right, should we have a look? Harry, what was our poll? Bring it up. Let's have a look at what you did. What did you do? Okay, you put, how many U-turns will Starmer make as PM? Brackets, currently it's at 13. And then you could choose from 13 to 15, 16 to 20, 21 to 30, or too many to count. Which is winning healthily with 59%? 59% of you say too many to count. And it goes back in descending order from those numbers. Okay. Thanks for doing that, Harry. Cheers for sorting that out. They called him, a couple of articles or things have called him Sir U-Turn. Like, that's his nickname, Sir U-Turn. That's how many U-Turns he does. Again, it's one of your priorities in government, in the broadest sense, to try and do as few U-turns as possible, isn't it? Because every single U-turn you do just makes you look weak and stupid and you didn't know what you were doing in the first instance, doesn't it? So ideally, have as few U-turns as possible. Even if you're Prime Minister for like 5 years, even 10 years, you'd want 1 or 2, 3, 4, 5 U-turns that whole time. Like, every single one is like a real fail. Like a real, oh, we dropped the ball there. We've got to go back and look at our procedures and make sure that doesn't happen again. But he's just constantly doing them, isn't he, Starmer? He's just sort of kind of constantly. It speaks of incompetence, doesn't it? Weakness and incompetence. That special mix of being incompetent, stupid, having no real judgment, and weakness. Like, it's one thing to have bad judgment, but you stick by it through thick and thin, bullheadedly. But no, not even that. Not even that. So, all right. Keir Starmer, what a joke. The Labour government of Great Britain. What an embarrassment. Where's my mouse? Oh, there it is. Okay, so I thought the Rishi government was embarrassing. Properly embarrassing. But this is so much worse. At least he had a veneer of semi-competence, like Rishi, wasn't it? There was a veneer there that he was still holding it together. It was still sort of, well, you get it. I don't have any of that feeling with this Labour government. That Rachel Reeves obviously doesn't know what she's doing, does she? All right, Trump says US will, quote, massively blow up major Iranian gas field if it attacks Qatar again. Not blow it up, massively blow it up. Blow it up bigly. Blow it up the most. Okay. US aircraft carrier, this is the Abraham Lincoln, I believe, is set to sail for Crete from the Red Sea after fire on board. There's been a fire on board the Abraham Lincoln, and it's got to retire from theatre to get refitted in Crete. Now, my first impression, as soon as I read that, I was like, oh, did it get hit by a drone or a missile? And they're just saying there was a fire on board, which may be the case, but I don't think so. When you read the details, unless it's all complete, it really is a complete lie from top to bottom. It seems that there was legitimately like a fire, an accidental fire, in the laundry room. No one was killed or anything. A few of these sailors suffered from smoke inhalation but are effectively fine. Like, the carrier itself is completely operational still. It's not like it's listing or anything. It doesn't look like it was hit by anything Iranian. But there was a fire on board. It's supposed to be cutting edge. And in the laundry room that broke out. And it took like a few hours for them to contain the blaze. Okay. You look, the damage was smoke damage spread to sleeping quarters, leaving more than 100 beds unusable. According to authorities, replacement cots have been arranged and additional mattresses and clothing were sent to the ship after its laundry facilities were wiped out. So, okay, I mean, that happened. That has happened. Make of it what you will. I bet the surviving leadership in Tehran think that's funny, though. Surely they would be like, oh. Surely they'd be inwardly, if nothing else, gloating about that. Okay, it's set to remain warm in Britain. Yesterday was a nice day, probably like half warm yesterday. That good weather's set to continue through to the weekend. Lovely jubbly. Okay, what else have we got? Okay, let's have a look. There was something in on the Sky News. What was it here? Oh yeah, remember that Nottingham attack where some completely deranged foreign black man murdered three people in the street for no reason and successfully claimed in court that they weren't murders. It was manslaughter with diminished responsibility because he's so mad. He was having an episode or, a psychic break, a psychological break in some way. So they weren't murders. It was just manslaughter, which the court accepted. I mean, he was given a sentence of to be put in like a mental asylum, like a true sort of, for the criminally insane, secure hospital type thing. But nonetheless, formally, they weren't murders, they were manslaughters. And there's an inquiry about it going on at the moment. It's been ongoing. And the parents of the two younger people, at least, one of the mothers of one of these younger victims, has always said, what a travesty that is. Of course they were murders. Of course they were murders. And anyway, in the inquiry, the police, the actual police, because it's not the police that prosecute, is it? It's the CPS that prosecute, the Crown Prosecution Service. In America, a DA. Right, it's not the police that prosecute, it'd be a DA. Well, okay. So the police have said in this inquiry that, yeah, they think that they were murders. Yeah, of course they were murders. Okay, this is rich. Get a load of this. We're constantly having the absolute Mickey taken out of us. Remember that Rwanda plan? Anyone remember that? The Tories, under like Preeti Patel and Suella Braverman and stuff, had a ridiculous idea to send some of our illegal immigrants and people that we wanted to try and deport to Rwanda. By the way, it was only ever an exchange program. We'd send them our people and they'd send us Rwandans. So we weren't getting rid of any numbers net. We were replacing some of our illegals with Rwandan people. So always a madness, always an exercise in wasting time while we're further invaded. It was always an exercise in trying to throw out red meat to half brain dead normies. Don't accept that Suella Braverman was based in any way or had our interests at heart. No. She wanted us to send like Albanians and Syrians to Rwanda so we could have more Rwandans. That was her plan. We spent £700 million on that. We sent £700 million to Rwanda to start doing that program. Ended up, we only ever sent four people there as a test, as the very first test of it. Then Labour got in and scrapped the whole thing. What an incredible waste of money and time. Meanwhile, over those years, multiple years, we were just invaded by hundreds of thousands of more people year on year. Well, current data point on that story, Rwanda demands more than £100 million more from UK over failed migrant deportation deal. Wow. Is that not an insult? Is that not a slap in the face? Well, you already sent them 700 million for nothing, for basically nothing. They ended up getting four people. Look, by the time of the 2024 general election, when Labour scrapped the whole thing, the Tory government had already spent £700 million on its flagship immigration policy, under which immigrants who arrived in the UK by boat from France would be sent to Kigali in a bid to deter channel crossings. Four people were sent. £700 million. How is it not the case that Suella Braverman and Priti Patel and the other, James Cleverly, the other Home Secretaries, how is it not the case that they effectively wasted £700 million and years of time that led to hundreds of thousands of more immigrants coming here? How are they not guilty of that? They are guilty of that, aren't they? Anyway, Rwanda, cheeky so-and-sos. They want another £100 million still, though. Europe is going to decide on it. The Hague, which is obviously in Holland, isn't it, The Hague? A court of arbitration there is going to decide. Are they almost certainly, have they not already said, or they've claimed that we still owe them another £100 million? £100 million? For what? How? Why? £100 million more. I mean, when are we going to stop letting the rest of the world take the complete mickey out of us? We just need a government with guts. We just need a government that is just going to say no to all these things. Just say no. It's not happening. There's a line in the sand. No. What sort of legal convention forces us to do these things? Right, well, we'll scrap that then. We're not in that now. Unilaterally, nope. No, just stop. No, we're just going to stop the whole rest of the world taking advantage. Okay, the mail online. Who owns the Mail Group? Don't look into that. $200 a barrel, okay. Oh, that guy, Joe Kent. Remember him from yesterday? Joseph Kent. He's been investigated by the FBI now. He went on Tucker last night, I believe. I haven't watched that yet. I'll watch that today. I will watch that today. He went on Tucker. And anyway, story is, he's been investigated by the FBI now for allegedly, possibly, leaking classified information. Did see a fair few comments on my segment yesterday on the main podcast of the Load Seaters, saying that various people, they're just YouTube comments, so take them or leave them, you know, but a fair few of them saying, there's a lot more to this guy's backstory. I said it yesterday, didn't I? So, you know, full transparency from your host. I'd never heard of him before, like, 2 days ago. Yeah, but apparently he was, like, he's flip-flopped massively. He was really pro-Iran at one point. Probably the Iranian conflict at one point, and he's flip-flop. This Joe Kent. I don't know any of that. I haven't looked into that, so I'm just telling you what the mainstream media is saying. All right, but he went on Tucker yesterday. There's a clip of it. Yeah, there is. Look, there he is on Tucker. Tucker's really anti the war, I believe, isn't he? So have a quick, super quick listen. It's 1 minute.
To the broader issues. Who's in charge of our policies in the Middle East? Who's in charge of when we decide to go to war or not? In this case, with what the Secretary described and later on the President and the Speaker of the House and the way the events played out, the Israelis drove the decision to take this action, which we knew would set off a series of events, meaning the Iranians would retaliate. Now, I think there's a potential there where we could have done several different things. We could have simply said to the Israelis, no, you will not. And if you do, then we will take something away from you. I think that it's fine that we offer defense to Israel, but when we're providing the means for their defense, we get to dictate the terms of when they go on the offensive, otherwise they stand to lose that relationship. And the Israelis felt emboldened that no matter what they did, no matter what situation they put us in, that they can go ahead and take this action, and we would just have to react. And so that speaks to that relationship. But also it just shows that there was a lobby pushing for us to go to war. So I think in this scenario, even if the Israelis told us we're going to strike on this date at this time, and we didn't try to negotiate with the Israelis and say, hey, we'll take something away from them, I think we still could have back-channeled to the Iranians and said, hey, if something happens here in the next couple of days, it's not us. We're still serious about negotiations, and we don't want to escalate this.
What you don't see on camera is...
Okay, so that's that. There you go. He's under investigation. The Sun, was there a tiny bit of slop? Look, Gary Glitter, slightly younger looking Gary Glitter there. Pop pedo, near death. Prince Andrew and Epstein there. Okay. Everyone bowing to the pressure from the political behemoth that is Angela the Fridge Rayner. What she says, she's a master of policy. What she says, the whole government... whole government jumps whenever Angela Rayner raises an eyebrow. Angela Rayner narrows her eyes and the whole government changes its position. All right. Actually, it's nearly quarter two. Three. Oh, you know, they made a drama with Martin Clunes about Hugh Edwards. Edwards exposed. After reading Hugh's sick texts, I knew drama had to be made. Really? Why? Weirdos and freaks. I saw this picture. I can't be bothered to read it, but that's a Photoshop, is it? How is that not a... is that Peter Shilton? Is that Peter Shilton on Gary Lineker's shoulders with Bobby Robson holding the World Cup? And someone doing a Nazi slip. Okay, can't be bothered. I'm not interested in actually finding out exactly what that story's about. All right, on this day in history, should we do a little bit of on this day in history? You like that? I like that. Down through the centuries, what happened on the 19th of March of note? Okay, on this day in the year 1279 AD would be, Mongolian victory at the Battle of Yamen ends the Song Dynasty in China. So that's an interesting one. That's a great one. I've been threatening for ages, almost since day one, to do a long-form series of videos about the Mongols. I will do it at some point. I will do it. I'm fascinated by the story of the rise and collapse of the Mongol empires. Fascinating stuff. So that would be, that is, what? That's Kublai Khan, wouldn't it be? That'd be Kublai Khan. The great Genghis's grandson, one of his grandsons, in the east, who stayed in China. And, they defeated the Song dynasty. You know, like, Genghis himself in, what, like 1215 or something, much earlier in the century, took Beijing. But it wasn't for, like, two generations later, 50 years later or whatever, more, before they finally, basically, the Mongols finally, basically, defeat China. There's a story of the Chineseification of the Mongols, though. It's not like the Mongols took China and turned China Mongol. It was that China turned the Mongols Chinese, really. I mean, fascinating story, though. At that battle, that was Kublai Khan and the Mongols were outnumbered like 10 to 1. There's a classic thing, isn't there? What was that history channel that was Crash Course History? If anyone remembers that, no? There was a YouTube channel, like millions of views, Crash Course History. And the guy would always talk about how there's certain patterns throughout history. The way, many, many patterns. But they don't apply to the Mongols. But this and this happened, and which would mean that would happen, unless you're the Mongols. Or except for the Mongols. So yeah. Entering a naval engagement where you're outnumbered 10 to 1 will mean almost certain defeat, unless you're the Mongols. Anyway, Kublai Khan. Probably the most fascinating grandson of Genghis Khan, arguably. All right. On this day in 1644, 200 members of the Peking imperial family and court commit suicide out of loyalty to the last Ming emperor, Chongzhen. Chongzhen had more than one name. But yeah, so they were being invaded by Manchus. Again, Chinese history isn't isn't really my wheelhouse properly. There's bits I know and bits I don't know. I know a little bit about this, but I don't know in fantastic detail. But I believe Manchu, there was a Manchu invasion from the north, and he couldn't escape, committed suicide, and most of his family and court decided to join him in that. Okay, on this day in 1863, Confederate cruiser SS Georgiana is destroyed on her maiden voyage from Scotland. It was built in Scotland. The Confederate cruiser, it was going to be probably their most powerful ship, still hold. It was destroyed on its maiden voyage off the coast of the United States, what, in the Carolinas, off the coast of the Carolinas, I believe, with a cargo of munitions and medicines valued at over $1 million. The wreck is discovered exactly 102 years later by a teenage diver and pioneer underwater archaeologist E. Lee Spence. So yeah, 1863, the Confederacy really needed those medicines, particularly, really needed them. So that was a big blow to the Confederacy. Yeah, there you go. Britain did help out the Confederacy in a few various ways. We paid reparations. The United Kingdom, the British Empire, paid reparations to the Union after the Civil War. It was our calculation, not that we were pro-slavery, we'd already abolished slavery, thank you very much. Our calculation was we could try and bring the war to an end quicker. But that was an incorrect calculation. Mr. Lincoln was all in. Oh, so there you go. All right. On this day in 1920, the US Senate, there's a big painting there of the Treaty of Versailles. If you don't know, let's click on the painting. Look, if you don't know, look, there's Woodrow Wilson there. That's Clemenceau, isn't it? Clemenceau. Lloyd George. Various other people. If you knew all the other people, they're all sort of real people. What is that like? Field Marshal Allenby, is it? Anyway. On this day, 1920, the US Senate rejects the Treaty of Versailles. Even though it was like Woodrow's baby in many ways. But the Senate didn't ratify it for the second time. And refusing to ratify the League of Nations covenant and maintaining a policy of isolation. Yeah, the League of Nations was always going to be ultimately a failure, like much, much worse than the UN, because the United States didn't get involved in it, even though, again, it was largely Woodrow Wilson's idea. Well, he pushed for it really hard. Anyway, there you go, that's history, that's the way it went. Okay, on this day in 1932, Sydney Harbour Bridge opens in Sydney. It's a cool bridge, isn't it? No doubting that. On this day in 2003, airstrikes by an American and British-led coalition signalled the beginning of the invasion of Iraq. Shock and awe. Without the United Nations support and its defiance of world opinion, there was a coalition of the willing, a fair amount. I'm not going to try and defend the war in Iraq, but just what this website on this day says there isn't really accurate. We've caught them doing that a few times, haven't we? Misrepresenting things. We've caught them doing that a number of times, haven't we? They've obviously got a leftist bent, haven't they? In defiance of world opinion. Well, no, there's a coalition of the winning. Lots of the world were on board with it. I mean, I would say the majority weren't, but a lot of the world were. Without United Nations support. Well, they did have United Nations support, if anyone remembers. George Bush Jr., George W. Bush, and Colin Powell. I'm not calling him Colon Powell. Colin Powell went to the UN to get a resolution, and they got one. But in that resolution, the wording wasn't perfectly, explicitly, 100%, we give you the green light to go and do whatever you want in Mesopotamia. And so a few people in Britain, actually, a few people in the Blair government were a bit squeamish about it, saying, oh, well, you've got a resolution, but it's not perfect. It's not as watertight as we would like. George Bush didn't care, really, did he? Donald Trump, Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl, they don't care. But Blair and the Brits were like, can we go back? Look, you know, come on. Come on, George. Can we go back to the UN and get a better title resolution that's like everything's, all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted. So George Bush, obviously against his better judgment, was like, okay. They went back to the UN to get an even better resolution, and that's what they didn't get. They'd say they didn't have the support of the UN. Well, they did, just not to a degree that they wanted, exactly. Complicated story, a little bit of an interesting, complicated story. You know, I'm sure Jack Straw would disagree. Or Jeff Hoon. Anyone remember these people? Anybody? Jack Straw, Jeff Hoon? They would probably disagree with the statement that the United Nations didn't support the war in Iraq. They would argue to their dying day, I imagine, to their last breath, that they did have United Nations support. All right, make of it what you will. All right, that's on this day in history. That's on this day in history. Should we have a look at the Rumble Rants and the Super Chats? What we got, what we got. Okay, let me do that so I can actually see the screen properly. Rumble Rants, here we go. Fortean Barber says, morning, Bo, exclamation mark. Morning, mate. You all right? Morning, Bo. That's with an exclamation mark. Not just loud, but with a, morning. This government nonsense gets me closer and closer to being a Cornish separatist. Cornish separatism for the win. I'm not because of obvious economic reasons and globalist implications. Fair enough. Yeah, cool. No, good. Yeah. We'll go and build a based utopia in Cornwall. Okay. Let's devolve Cornwall. Kalergi says, no longer following any ridiculous based feminists. Yeah, never follow any feminists ever. Never listen to anything they've got to say. Ever. Why would you? It's wrong-headed. It's born out of a chip on your shoulder that you were born without a dick. Not interested in it. I'll take my toothless English brother tyrannised by the state over a championed economic parasite with no loyalty to my country all day, any day. Yeah, good. Yeah, sure. Is that a reference to Liam Tuft and Posey Parker, I think? All right. Morning, Bo. Any interest covering Afro Man winning his court case? No, no. Is that black rapper? Afro? Is that the one that's like, I was going to go to school and then I go home? That dude. Don't care about him and his life and what he does and says and what's happening to him. No, I don't. Sorry. It's Sligglestone 17. Hi, Sligglestone, by the way. I like Sligglestone. He's funny on Twitter and stuff. He's a good guy. But sorry, no, I could not be less interested in Afro Man. But you go and say, he's a musician and country sheriff, raided his home on false pretenses, stole money and sued him for making a music video about it. Sounds quite funny, actually. The whole thing sounds absurd. No, Afro Man. Exactly the sort of person and artist I do not care about. I just do not care about it. And then Sliggerstone's got one other, says, the Confederacy still invented combat submarines and sunk a Union ship. Yeah, they were on the cutting edge, weren't they, if you could call it that, of submarine warfare, weren't they? Yeah. Yeah, they did have one, didn't they? They were the first to use... Were they the first to use an ironclad as well? Both sides got them quite quickly. But I think, I might be wrong, I think the Confederacy built the first ironclad. Okay. Yeah, but you're right about the submarine thing too. All right, we've got YouTube here, the YouTube Super Chats. Global Church History, someone beat you to the punch this morning. We've got Likeabot 12336 says, hey, Bo, a Yank here. I watch the show every day, but can't usually catch it live. Do you think you'll ever do any videos about the history of maths or science, I suppose? Cheers. Yeah, I would love to. What, like on my on epochs? Yeah, I really should. I mean to do... Have I done any yet on the history of science or maths? I can't remember now. I must have done one or two about one of the more famous... Have I done a thing on Newton? Like the life of Newton? If I haven't, I will. I love the... or very, very interested in the life and events of the life of Johannes Kepler and of Isaac Newton, someone like that. I could and would, yeah. A video on the actual... of actual science, though. I mean, could do, would do. I'm not a scientist, so it would only ever be like a historian's take on the narrative, not an actual deep dive into the science itself. So I've got double GCSE maths. Double GCSE science and GCSE maths. That's it. At A level, I just was straight up humanities, English and history and stuff. So I'm not a scientist in any way, although a big fan of it. Big fan of it. Okay, Global Church History, in at number 2, says, today, 721 BC, Nineveh sees first recorded lunar eclipse. That's very interesting. Nineveh, so that is the Assyrians, right? Nineveh? That'll be the ancient Assyrians, won't it? Interesting, very, very interesting. I guess we found that out on a piece of, like, cuneiform tablet or something. 721 BC, God. It's a ways back, isn't it? 721 BC. There's a great podcast called The Fall of Civilizations. Fall of Civilizations podcast, it's called. They're great. They're really great. Long form, you know, 2-3, sometimes even more, 4-5 hours. Their one on the Mongols is brilliant. Their one on the Assyrians is brilliant. In fact, all of their ones are brilliant. There's not that many. They're so high quality and so good, they only make like a few a year. So the whole Fall of Civilizations podcast is only 30-odd. I mean, each one's very long, but anyway. Fall of Civilizations podcast, couldn't recommend it enough. Their one on the Assyrians is very, very, very good. Okay, Principled Uncertainty says, Bo, UK-Iranian attacks 0, or because they were thwarted. Interrupted plots of varying seriousness, 0, not true. Their proxies focus on Sunni targets and our ally, Israel, I take it you're saying. The Sharia suffered more than anyone under ISIS. I mean, that's true. That is true. The Saudis export terror. That's also true. So some things there I don't agree are true, and some things there are definitely true. I'm sorry, interrupted plots of varying seriousness in the UK 0. That's just not true. I'm sorry. Most of the other things you said, though, are certainly true, though. The Shia suffered more than anyone under ISIS. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Saudis, quote, export terror. Yeah, yeah. Their type of Islam. Yeah. Yep. Okay, Principled Uncertainty says... Oh, you've corrected yourself. Brilliant. Cool. You put interrupted attacks 20, not 0, sticky keys. Fine, good. Okay. Right. Oh, okay, right. Right, 20. But that's cool, you corrected yourself. Brilliant, well done. And we're not locking horns over that data point. Yeah. Okay. A half dozen more or so, or four more. We've got Ribeye Rob. Don't necessarily remember you before, so thank you for your super chat there. You've put Bo... you need to get a monocle and gold pocket watch to complete your awesome look. Cheers, buddy. Yeah. Do you know what? I've considered, and may well start wearing waistcoats, at least from time to time, not every single day, but start wearing a waistcoat sometimes. And I've got a pocket watch and chain and fob. I already own that. I've owned that for years and years and years. Someone got it for me for Christmas yonks ago. If and when I start wearing waistcoats, I probably will wear a pocket watch and chain and fob. Monocle's a bit much. I'm going to have to draw the line at monocle. I'm afraid. Thanks for the comment, though. I appreciate it. It's funny. But I'm not wearing a monocle. Am I? It's a little bit Monopoly guy, isn't it? It's a little bit Rommel. Was it Rommel? Was it Yodel? More than one very, very senior Nazi Wehrmacht officer would wear a monocle, right? It wasn't Yodel, it was... Anyway. Okay, I'm not going to do a monocle. Sorry. May well do pocket watch. Okay, Chris281 says, main podcast yesterday was awesome. Oh, cheers, buddy. Cheers. I thought it was a good one. I honestly thought it was a very good one. All that in-depth flying and military talk gave me a bit of... excited you, to be honest, you say. I've paraphrased slightly there. Yeah, Tim Davies, ex-RAF fast jet pilot Tim Davies, squadron leader, retired, is a font of fascinating knowledge. Behind the paywall... Actually, well, I've talked to him a couple of times on History Bro, my old channel, my channel History Bro, and then two or even three times on the Lotus Eaters. I think one is an interview, so it's free. I think one is an Epochs, so it is behind the paywall. And, yeah, I'm picking his brain all about military and civil aviation, just for like an hour and a half, 2 hours straight. Again, brilliant content, I think. Get an actual GR4 Tornado and Hawk T1, T2 pilot. An actual Top Gun. Well, not Top Gun because that's American, but, you know. An actual fighter ace, bomber fighter. Get his take on loads and loads and loads of things about civil and military aviation, the history of it. Brilliant. Consider signing up. So it's £5 a month, gold tier membership, bronze tier membership. LotusEaters.com. There is, you know, I'm going to say this because I'm an employee. But there is loads of brilliant content behind that paywall. Not just Epochs. All sorts of philosophy from Stelios. An actual Greek philosopher, PhD in philosophy. Hours and hours of him talking about philosophy. Quality. Dan Tarm talking about economics. For us talking about geopolitics. Loads of stuff. Just talking about psychology and a million and one other things. It's all there. It's all there. £5 a month. It's a good deal. All right. What have we got here? Real Mr. Bra says, crash course history was John Green. Yeah, did I say it wrong? Did I say it wrong? Yeah, sorry, you're right. That was what I was talking about. You got it. You understood. Did I call it something slightly different today? Crash Course History. Yeah. And it was that guy, John Green. Except the Mongols. Yeah. Yeah, John Green, Crash Course History. Good stuff. All right. And last of all, then, Principal Uncertainty again says, life is one endless black pill binge right now. I get you. I hear you, buddy. But having a good laugh first thing makes it almost bearable. Thanks, lads. Mainly Harry the Lesser. So you're not little Harry anymore, you're Harry the Lesser.
I'm honoured.
the elusive lesser spotted Harry. Okay. Oh, one more's just ticked in. Principal's Uncertainty again says, House of Glucksburg, Tsar Nick King George, Bo. Tsar Nick King George Bo. Okay. So I'm not entirely sure what you're referencing there, but Tsar Nicholas II and King George. King George the Fifth. Okay. All right. Well, thanks anyway. Thanks anyway. And I'm glad we cleared that up about where you said there was zero interrupted and then you're like, no, sorry, no, I meant 20. There's 20. That's good. All right, good stuff. Okay, well, that's the show. It's now 9:09 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Thursday the 19th of March in the year of our Lord, 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers and sisters. Thanks for watching. Without you, the Glorious Band, the Chosen Few, it's not a thing. It really isn't. You make it. It's you guys. It's you guys. I could sit here and talk into a camera every morning that's switched off. What is that? That's nothing. It's you that makes it. All right. Well, until tomorrow morning, I'll be back tomorrow morning, first thing. 8 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Try and make the most of the day ahead. You know, it's another day, another chance to make a difference, to do something valuable with your time. You'll never get it back. You'll never get this time back again. I know that's hard to take in, especially if you're young. Very hard. No, no, I've got endless time. You haven't. You haven't. Try and make it count. All right, then. Till tomorrow. Take care.